to report agenda item number two, report and possible discussion on quarterly portfolio report by BlackRock Merrill Lynch. John, if you'll introduce that.
Again, introducing Jeff Hewlett and Jeff Biggers here from BlackRock and Merrill Lynch. As you all know, of course, they represent two of the sort of the investment funds that we have, the four that we have in the plan. The other two, Royce Premier and Harbor, are mutual funds, but they're here to obviously talk about, because that still represents some 70% of the total portfolio is BlackRock equities and bond funds. So I'll let Jefferson talk about sort of this quarter. Now they'll be talking about the 9/30 information through 9/30. So I want to talk a little bit about how things went.
Well, again, John, instead of going back through everything, if we can let Richard do his report, and we can, if there's any specific questions about the returns, then if we can address them that way.
I know we've got, and I think Peter asked this question last time, we've got nearly 40% of our money in mortgages. What is the overall?
The benchmark that we're moving to on that, which is the Barclays Intermediate Ag, is about 42-43% mortgages. That's just the way the bond market and the way these indices are structured. So it's actually underweight. If you go across all the sectors within fixed income within that index, we're underweight treasuries, we're overweight agencies, overweight corporates, and then a slight underweight to mortgage-backed securities. That's just a big component of both the Barclays Ag and the Intermediate Ag.
Is there any way to determine the quality of those?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think BlackRock's probably best known for, is our ability to scrutinize the underlying securities that are inside these mortgage pools. So it's not anything that we disclose out in the public, but that's where we try and, that's the one area of the market is in agency mortgage-backed securities and commercial mortgage-backed securities, where we think that that's where we offer our most value, that most other shops can't do the amount of research that we do inside these pools. Yeah, it is available.
One comment, I don't think there's anything in the policy that says you've got to stay close to the index from the standpoint of weightings. It basically says that, hey, from the standpoint of a benchmark, this is what we're expecting you to outperform. And if you think it's more advantageous for the overall fund to be heavy corporates or heavy treasuries and out of mortgages, that's fine.
Right, and we have that ability.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just looking at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the way they're going right now, is not, outlook's not very good for them.
No, it's not.
But this is actually securitized mortgage loans, not actually the debt of Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac that we're talking about here.
Right.
Quite a lot. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the comments I might make, and Richard, you might address this when we get a minute to yours, is that if you look, and of course, BlackRock has their own detailed performance report, of course, of the fixed income and the equity. But on the fixed income side, I noticed the benchmark they use, the Barclays Cap Aggregate International Aggregate Bond, is different than, I think, the benchmark. If I'm mistaken, and that's why I'm asking the question, I see the numbers are different for just the 3-month period. So I don't know if that's something we need to look at as to what, I mean, Richard, on yours, you got one index you're sort of comparing to, and they got a different one that they're comparing to. I don't know which one is maybe more appropriate or what.
And that's we went ahead and changed it from what we were using, the U.S. GovCorp Ag, the new investment policy that was adopted, had this as a benchmark, so we went ahead and put this in here. I think Richard.
Right. Well, actually, when we did that, we said they've got a 6-month period to get in line with the overall expectations of the policy, and the intent was that once they, had moved that way, we would change the benchmark. And since they're already there, we'll change the benchmark as of October 1 moving forward. Okay. Because I think the signing actually occurred in September, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
And while we're on that point, our compliance is asking if someone's going to sign that letter that we sent.
Yeah, I thought we'd already done. We'll get a copy.
Under the new benchmark, what would be the weighting of the mortgage? Or is this reflective of the new benchmark? Where we are now, 38?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So we may come back to, when Richard does some of his analysis, may come back to some comments you guys do. Probably makes sense to do that.
Yeah, and the benchmark would be, you know, we won't go back with the benchmark. We'll just take the benchmark from October 1 forward linked into what was there before.
John, we have the information here. Do we want to go through this? I mean, I know it's pathetic, but we need to.
Are you talking about on the BlackRock portion? No, I think probably what makes sense is probably to go on to Richard and let him do the overall. Okay. BlackRock's going to be a big piece of it because they represent
right.
The biggest.
Well, quite frankly, I would like to hear, you know, BlackRock about how they've structured and why they're structured in the particular fashion, which gives me a little bit more understanding instead of just looking at raw, you know, result numbers. So if there's some way, you know, to talk about, okay, we've transitioned into the intermediate, we've overweighted, and why we may have overweighted, whatever it is, or underweighted, and from the standpoint of the equities, you know, what has transpired and why the portfolio is structured for what you think may transpire. I mean, I think that would give us a lot more information from the standpoint of me talking about, you know, results.
Would that be page 13 of this report?
Page 32 is the equity sector allocation. Is that what you're talking about, Richard?
Well, that, you know, it's about portfolio structure, just as to why the structure is the way it is. I mean, that's primarily what I'm talking about. I don't know what the page numbers are.
Well, I was looking at page 13 on the upper top, our page.
Well,
not their page. Their page 7. Let me say their page 7. Let's go to their page 7 and look at that together for just a moment. It kind of gives a snapshot.
Yeah, that's the fixed income.
Fixed income.
That's
okay.
The fixed income part. The first part of theirs is fixed income. The second half of theirs is the equity.
Where's the equity?
You have to get to about page 30.
30. Okay.
I think page 30. Starting about page 30.
Sure.
That's where the equity piece is. That's where the equity piece is.
Their page 30.
Yes. Yes. I think that's
market performance is on page 33.
Yeah, right. The actual performance is a few pages. You just want to see what they're
sure. That's kind of what
between 30 and 34. There's just the black sectors. Yeah, if you go back, that if you're interested in looking at what equities they're in, that's right back before that.
33 shows the summary.
Right, that's the summary of the sectors they're in.
That's their weight and overweight right there. Underweight and overweight.
Right, you can see.
To
One of the questions may be, and y'all may remember this, is for this particular 3 months, the S&P was down 13.9%, and the BlackRock fund was down a little over 16%. So it was a little bit worse than the S&P. And I'll look at Richard. That's sort of what you were trying to get some to look at that and sort of see, because what we've seen in the past, and I think one of the questions was, I was talking to Jeff about this earlier, was that in down periods like we had this quarter, the large cap core fund had actually done a little bit better than the S&P. The quality and stuff, it lost less, if you will, and in this case, it actually lost more. So I think there was a question, well, did anything particularly change in what you're doing this quarter, because it sort of changed the way it had performed?
Yeah, we had, you know, up until the third quarter, we had about 450 basis points of outperformance going into that quarter, and gave back, you know, about 300 basis points once it was all said and done. You know, we went into it with a little bit lower weighted average market cap than our benchmark, the S&P 500, probably a little more cyclicality. We had added some exposure to basic materials, overweight materials, overweight energy, about market weight industrials, three of the worst sectors to own during that quarter. Again, underweight staples, underweight utilities, underway telecom services, three of the more conservative areas. So that was kind of a quarter where we wanted to be very conservative with exhaustion position. We had added some cyclicality to the portfolio a little early. So gave back some of the performance through that quarter. But here today, still have a slight advantage. You know, this, the end of the quarter, we were down. Now you look through the end of, or through Friday, we're up on the equity side 1.7. S&P is up about 1.3. So have a slight advantage there, but you know, we did give back some in the third quarter. And on the you asked the positioning, Richard, on the fixed income side, typically where we add value on the fixed income side is by not making big duration bets. We're going to be anywhere from plus or minus 20% of our benchmark duration. We do some sector rotation, some security selection within that side. So we see little value in treasuries right now, although treasuries have been a great trade to be in here today. But we continue to be underweight treasuries, overweight agencies. Mortgage backs are a good way to get extra yield in this kind of yield-starved environment without taking on too much duration. And then on the corporate side, the one thing that we have done is dip down a little bit into some of the lower rated investment-grade bonds. We feel that like we can get some extra yield out of it without putting too much extra risk. Duration's a little bit short of our benchmark. We're fine with that. We're not worried that interest rates are going to get move terribly higher on us anytime soon. The Fed has said that they remain committed to keep interest rates low through 2013, at least on the front end. And now we have Operation Twist, where they're selling some of the short end of their book and buying $400 billion out on longer dated treasuries and mortgage, our agency mortgage backed securities. So we're positioned appropriately. We know what the new index is. Really wasn't that much of a difference because we were kind of in between two indices for a long time anyway. We had kind of moved indices a couple of times along the way. So it's not going to be a major change for us to have this new benchmark going forward.
Is our portfolio a benchmark of BlackRock? In other words, there's not somebody paying individual attention to our portfolio.
I don't know that it is. Yeah. Especially anytime you have a formal investment policy statement.
Well, I understand that, but who determined that we ought to be overweight energy? Was it somebody?
Yeah. BlackRock top down will push views through that we'll try and implement across all of our strategies. So, whether you're in our long term, intermediate, short term, taxable, or even tax free, across the board, we're going to try and have that same trade across all strategies, across all mandates. And then it comes up to the individual, if we have an investment policy statement that restricts us from doing that, then we'll have to adjust. But if we can, we want these major macro moves within the firm expressed across all of our portfolios, still within the context of the IPS that guides it.
If I could take us to BlackRock's page 47. There's a summary report that's, I think, interesting for us to focus on. And it gives a little snapshot of where we are at September 30th in relation to where we began all the way back to June 2000. We've got an 11-year history of actual. And, John, feel free to equalize or reconcile all this. But we have to deal with the bold reality of we started with $16 million. I don't know how many employees we had at that point and how you'd reconcile it to that, but the brutal truth is that we started with $16 million. Of course, it's fluctuated up and down. If you go to page 48, you can see perhaps a high in June of 07 of $18 million, or September of 07, excuse me. And then it took the big dive, and we've really suffered since 08, or since 07, actually. And we have been having a hard time recovering our portfolio.
Well, let me interject. Part of that downswing, pardon me, is the drop-off, and I have to look at the dates. We did pull money. That's when we invested the money. We pulled
$5.5 million,
yes, of course, out there, and you can see that part of that was related to that.
Yeah.
But, we invested in Royce and Harbor, and so it's not apples to apples.
Sure.
Only down to that point, and then, of course, just what BlackRock.
Of course, March of 09 was the bottom, the trough, so to speak, of the market. And The market since then has been up about 80%. So you look at index-wise and so forth. So, yeah.
What's your advice? Compared to what do we have? What have we got?
Well, I don't know. I haven't tried to figure that out.
Since then?
You have to add Royce and Carver back in there and so forth to see.
We might be able to figure
that out. We got a pretty good straw in it too, every month, pulling money out of it. I mean, that's...
Sure. Yeah, there's been 6 million.
You can't ignore that.
Six million's come out. I mean, overall, we've got a yield of, what, 3% on this, 3 or 4? After withdrawals and additions, if I understood it right.
That's on one of the reports somewhere.
So when you go to, this, we get into to Richard's report, is where you can see the multi-year for the entire portfolio, which is probably what's meaningful.
Okay, let's move on then to that. You ready, John?
Sure.
Okay.